Good morning. Welcome to New Life Church. Please stand as we worship this morning.
Tonight. Psalms 150. Psalms 150 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him in the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." I'm going to say that again. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. God, we pray that as we gather this morning that you would draw us into a place of worship. I pray that your spirit would fill each person here where they're at. And I pray that each person here would feel your presence and be able to worship within that.
What gifts of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless grace. To this shine.
When the rain
so good to us, and you will be so good to us. What a wonderful thing it is. We get to praise you this morning. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated if you'd like. We're going to take the offering this morning, which is for Esperanza. You can give in these two boxes in front of me, or you can give any way behind me as well. We're going to sing this song called Defender. It's been on my heart for a while. And the last line reads, "So much better your way." And I have to remind myself constantly that not my way is better, but his way is better. So let this song just wash over you this morning.
Ourselves this morning that nothing we accomplish, nothing that we do makes us anything more than we can be in your eyes. You did so much more than just forgive us. You actually took our sin upon yourself and made us holy beings. So Lord, you are our defender, and we rest in that, and we rely in that, and we just thank you for that. So Lord, as we continue in worship this morning, we ask that you would make our hearts to be the soil that you spoke about, fertile and ready to receive what you have for us, and to multiply it 100-fold of what's sown. Please bless our worship this morning.
Good morning. My name is Jacob Visser. That's actually the whole first line. That's it. If you are new here, we invite you to fill out a Connect card, and if you're online, the host will send a connection link. The connection cards can be found probably in the seat in front of you, if not in front of the seat beside you. And that way we can reach out and make sure you don't slip through the cracks. We value you being here, and we enjoy worshiping with you. For January and February, we are wanting to help out with the Extreme Weather Shelter, hosted at Gateway Church. And in the foyer, you'll find that there is a promotional board with ways to help. You can take one of those help cards, and they will have, well, there will be different cards by the looks of it, and each of the cards will have different ways that you can help. So whatever capacity or way that you are hoping to help, there will be cards there. The shelter needs volunteers to help host people, as well as donations of socks, mittens, blankets, hats, and sandwich buns. One of those things is not like the other. The shelter opens in the cold and provides a warm and safe place to sleep for people who are currently experiencing homelessness. And as it's our command to be with the least of these, I mean, especially if we hit negative 15 again, it would be great to send some people over there and show face. There is also a booth in the foyer, and they're selling coffee for missionaries and our mission partners. Coffee is sold at $15 a pound, 2 pounds for $25, or 10 pounds for $120, not 20, I wish. Soon we will be dismissing the kids. The nursery and Little Lights will be in room 301, and the kids' church will be in 303. Please stay out of the downstairs floor as it is still off limits. We are nearly complete the renovations, and Taylor says that it'll be done in 2 weeks, so if it's not, talk to her about it. You will go there through the door on my right, and then there's a staircase further down the hallway past the bathrooms. And if you're new here, you can find a kids' church attendant either, well, at this door or somewhere in that way, you'll find some people there. And if you have not signed your kids in yet, that's also fine. You can find a kiosk, and if you don't know where a kiosk is, again, talk to those people. We are now entering our 10-minute fellowship time. I'm just kidding. It's only 3. So please remember to wear a mask. Let's respect each other and respect what others are comfortable with by just following that mandate. Parents, this is your opportunity to bring your kids. It says downstairs, but please don't bring them downstairs because that is off limits. Bring them upstairs, and that way you don't go with missing any part of the service. Welcome each other in God's peace, and today let's ask each other what the weirdest food you've ever eaten is. Thank you.
Wow, you're getting good at this. I don't even have to calm you down or anything. It must be the coffee that, or the lack of coffee that suddenly it's quiet as soon as the 3 minutes are done. Wonderful. Well done. Well done. Good morning. Welcome again to New Life. And it's good always to be together. I want to begin with a prayer. Let's pray together. So, Father, thank you that we can be here together, whether here in this auditorium or online. And, Father, I pray that even as we open your word, that we may be amazed that you tell us something about yourself. And so as we sit here, we pray, God, that you will indeed reveal something of yourself, and that in doing so, that you will change us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I started this series, I mentioned to you that it's kind of hard to preach about worship, just because when you talk about worship, it's, I don't want to make this sound so churchy, but it's a super holy topic. And that is what has stunned me. So when I was listening to the band sing that song, I don't remember the exact words, but something about, I haven't done anything, but God has done everything. That's indeed what's happening as we gather here for worship. Now, we might say, on the other hand, well, but I did a lot to get here this morning. I mean, I prepared a whole message, and you had to get ready, you had to gather your family, you probably had a fight in the middle of that, and so you had to calm down, and you did a lot to get here, perhaps. And yet, to come into God's presence simply to worship and to acknowledge that God has done everything in our lives, and we just kneel before Him, well, that's quite a bit to swallow, in fact. So we've said that our theme this year is going to be about worship, exploring this whole idea of worship. And of course, our desire is that we worship well, or even that we worship rightly. Our desire is that our worship is worthy of God, or even that it's worthwhile for God to be here with us. And then doing that week in, week out, over and over again may seem to us to be, well, maybe a little too repetitious. Or perhaps on bad days, we might even say it's unnecessary. Or perhaps, as the title suggests, we might say it's just a royal waste of time. And then in that first week, we talked about how, indeed, worship is a royal waste of time in the sense that worship isn't for us. Worship's not for us to get something out of it. Worship isn't, in that sense, useful to us. It's all about God. It's all about celebrating the splendor of God. It's that image of just kneeling before God, recognizing that we've not done anything, but God has done everything. And it's a royal waste of time. Only because God is indeed our King. He's the one that rules over our life. He's the master of our life. That's the center of worship. That's the core of worship. The heart of worship is simply to be able to gather in this place and say, I just want to acknowledge, celebrate, worship the splendor, the majesty of God. But then there is also more to our worship. When we worship God, something happens to us. We change. When we gather for worship, transformation happens. And it all happens on account of God's glory, which means then, of course, that we cannot lose sight of that core of worship, the glory, splendor, and majesty of God. So even if worship is not about us or for us, change happens in us. And that's what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to take a look at that this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And so here's where I even want you to realize that in opening Scripture, you're not just going to be listening to me expound on these words of Scripture. In opening Scripture, it's as if God's opening up himself to you to say, oh, I want you to get to know me. I'm offering myself to you. And we ought to be stunned by that. We ought to be able to marvel at that, at the fact that God would say, I want you to get to know me. And that invitation. So hear these words. Paul, as part of a larger argument, I guess, or presentation, he says this: we're not like Moses, referring back to the Old Testament, the ways of Israel. We're not like Moses who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. He's referring to Exodus chapter 33 and 34, way in the beginning of the Old Testament, where Moses goes up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, actually for the second time. In chapter 33, Moses has asked God, show me your glory. And God says, yeah, you don't know what you're asking for. If I showed you my glory face to face, you'd be done. And so God makes an arrangement. He says, look, he says, turn your back and I'll pass before you. And that way I can reveal myself to you. And then when Moses comes down the mountain, then the Israelites say, oh, wow, Moses, you're too bright. You're radiating something. And Moses is like, oh yeah, that's the glory of God. And he puts a veil over his face. So Paul says, we're not like Moses who put a veil over his face to prevent this radiant glory of God from blinding the people. And then he goes on in this argument, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord Jesus, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate or reflect the Lord's glory, we all who are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. A transformation happens in the presence of God. But it's not from something we enact or initiate or manage or manipulate even. It's not something we need to manufacture out of ourselves to say, we need to get this out of worship so that we can be transformed. Transformation simply happens when you're in the presence of God. Earlier in 2 Corinthians 3, in that initial verse I read, Paul is referring to that whole Old Testament way of God revealing himself to the people of God through the law of Moses, Torah, and that's what the people of Israel lived by. It wasn't wrong. It just couldn't initiate any kind of change because it depended on a person's performance of the rules. The way of rules may have involved our best efforts, but then the glory of God would fade. Even when Moses came down the mountain, eventually the glory of God, that radiation, would fade, and then the people could treat Moses just like anybody else. But in the Old Testament, transformation depended on that performance. And now, what Paul is saying is transformation happens just by receiving it. Simply by being in the presence of God with unveiled faces, beholding God's glory, the fullness of God's glory, seeing God in Jesus Christ. Again, that's a marvel that we can see God. Elsewhere in the New Testament, I think it's Hebrews 12, the author talks about how God is a consuming fire. You stand in the presence of God and you just simply get obliterated. You get burnt up. But in Jesus Christ, we can see God. The fullness of God. And that changes us. God's presence changes us. We don't need to grab a hold of it. We don't need to fix it. We don't need to manipulate it. God's presence changes us. We lose sight of worship. We lose sight of the center of worship, the core of worship. We miss that glory, and then we miss that transformation. That happens when worship becomes simply mundane, or when it becomes just a matter of following the rules and the right patterns and just the things that we're supposed to do. Which perhaps is why there's no particular liturgy in the Bible. There's no prescription for it. Maybe that's what Paul's referring to when he says, in the Lord there is freedom. Because it's simply being in the presence of God. But we lose that core of worship also when we make worship into a seminar so that preaching becomes mere teaching and proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ becomes instructions of how to live your best life ever. And then worship simply becomes about us and about how we can manage our lives so that we can be happy, so that we can enjoy life, so that we can have a better life, so that it's all about us. And then we miss out on the glory of God. In fact, we just simply cover our face. We hide ourselves from God when we make worship for us. Here's an illustration I came across. Bob Russell, a well-known pastor out of Kentucky, and he made the point this way. He said, the University of Kentucky basketball team won the national championship a couple years ago. A few days later, there was a celebration in the local arena to honor the team. The audience, all the fans, cheered wildly for each player when that player was introduced. And the fans carried banners. They painted their faces. They proudly wore blue and white outfits. They tried to get autographs. Not one fan, he says, not one fan walked away saying, well, that event was a dud. It did nothing for me. Not one fan walked away like that. The event was a success, he says, not because the performance was great. They didn't even play basketball that evening. He says the event was a success, not because the players' speeches were inspiring. Most of them were terrible public speakers. The event was a success, he says, because everyone understood why they were there. The purpose wasn't to please the fans, the audience, themselves. The purpose was to honor the team. People walked away saying, that was great. I hope the team understands how much we appreciate them. Worship is something like that, of recognizing all that God has done for us. And celebrating God's glory because of it. Praise. Praising God. It's a response to the amazing, stunning blessing that God even bothers to show up to reveal himself to us. Have you gone after that glory lately? Have you gone after the presence of God and just simply to rest in it and to wallow in it Let's come to worship with an anticipation of seeing God. Next week, we want to create an environment where we can experience that and immerse ourselves in that. So I want to encourage you, make sure you come show up next week. And we want to conclude this series with that sense of just being in the presence of God and celebrating His glory. Beholding God's glory. It ought to amaze us and excite us. But in worship, we also get to reflect God's glory. Not just to see it, but to reflect it. In reflecting God's glory, we stand as in a mirror, Paul is saying. And the image that's reflected back when we stand in front of a mirror isn't of ourselves. The image, Paul says, is of Jesus Christ Himself. People can tell, in other words, people can tell that we've been face to face with God because they see a different image in us. A different reflection. They see love, joy, and peace where there is no love, joy, and peace. We reflect Christ who endured the cross when in the midst of hardship or frustration, we radiate hope even through the pain of suffering. Reflecting Jesus Christ. Worship does that. It causes us not only to see God's glory, but also to reflect God's glory. We read in verse 18, we who contemplate the Lord's glory. That word contemplate is a difficult word to translate from the original language. It's kind of a mixed up word of seeing, but also being seen. Of reflecting, but also of just being passive. Contemplating. Whatever captures your attention, in other words. Whatever captivates your devotion, that's what you reflect. When we gather for worship, we want to be captivated by Jesus and by Jesus Christ alone. And then we reflect God's glory. It's part of the wonder and the mystery of worship. You can't just try to act like Jesus. You can't just try to do your best to imitate His behaviors. No, in worship, in being in the presence of God, in beholding God's glory, it causes us to reflect Jesus Christ Himself. Worship changes your image so that Christ is known through you. You are making Christ's name known. Max Lucado, he explains it this way. He says, maybe you don't know these names. And raise your hand if you do. Jack Tinker and Partners. You ever heard of them? Jack Tinker and Partners? Anybody ever heard of that? No. How about Foot, Cone, and Belding, an agency or a firm. Foot, Cone, and Belding. Or how about the name J. Walter Thompson? Anybody heard of J. Walter Thompson? See, nobody's heard of those things. Because you don't know these names, because advertising companies don't exist to make a name for themselves. They exist in order to make a name for someone else. Jack Tinker and Partners made Alka-Seltzer known with plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Foot, Cone, and Belding came up with the Hallmark motto, when you care enough to send the very best. You've heard that, right? That's been their motto since 1934. Maybe you don't know the name J. Walter Thompson. In fact, you don't. But I guarantee that you recognize the snap, crackle, pop from Rice Krispies. There you go. See, ad agents make a name for someone else. When we're in worship, we reflect the image of Christ to make Christ's name known for others to see. That becomes inviting. That becomes welcoming. That becomes a hospitality. That reflects the very same invitation that God extends to you and me when he says, let me tell you something about myself. And we open up the words of Scripture and we read who God is. We behold God's glory in worship. We reflect God's glory in worship. And when we worship, we're changed. We become glory. We're transformed into Christ's image from glory into glory, is how one version tries to translate what Paul is saying here. From glory into glory. We worship in glory, God's glory. Or as the author of Hebrews says, we shine like stars. We're God's pride and joy. It's about a transformed relationship between God and us. Where once there was alienation, where once there was this complete separation, where we didn't even know about God, or we weren't even interested in knowing God, now there is this union of friendship, deep friendship. Worship, as we said earlier, isn't a seminar that you must get something out of it because you want to become a better person. As long as we think worship is about making us better people, there's always going to be better behaved people out there in the world. And then it's going to seem useless to us to worship. It's not a matter of simply better behavior. We worship because in beholding the glory of God, we become glory. That's the transformation. In worship, we empty ourselves entirely. Think about that. You gather here in worship not to fill yourself up, but to empty yourself so that God can enter into relationship with you. It's a matter of staring into the face of God, knowing God, and in knowing him, you desire to know him more, from glory into glory. It's an endless thing. It's never a point where you say, you know, I've done church long enough, I've arrived, I know God. No, Paul says no, from glory into glory, and then you discover more glory, and then you anticipate, oh, I want to see it again, and I want to enjoy it more. The way I think of it is this image of sitting down with God over a cup of coffee, and you sit across the table from each other, and then you want to go out for coffee with him again. Not because the coffee is so great, but simply because you get an opportunity to see God face to face, and you get to know his facial expressions, and you get to see his twitches, and you get to see the wink in his eye, and you start to get his jokes, and you get to know him, and you say, let's meet again. I want to know you more. But not only that, but in knowing God more, you begin to say, I want to express myself that way. I want to have that look on my face. I want to be able to tell God's jokes. And so we become glory. Glory into glory. As we behold God's glory, as we reflect God's glory, and as we become glory for the praise of our God, to make his name known. So again, I want to encourage you to come with that sense of anticipation next week and say, I want to sit across the table from God. And I want to see his facial expressions. I want to see more of God. So that in living my daily life, I am more like God. Not to be God, but to be like God. And so to honor him, give praise to his splendor and majesty. Let's pray together. God, may every day be an anticipation of meeting with you. But certainly, God, each Sunday, we pray that you'll plant in our hearts that kind of excitement. And God, we acknowledge, we confess that sometimes we tire of it, and sometimes we think it's boring or think it's useless. Sometimes, God, we just have bad attitudes of worship, and sometimes we just get kind of sick and tired of being together with people. And God, we lift up that whole mess of our lives to you. Purify us. Even as we are here together, call attention, Father, to who you are in our lives. And may your presence, simply your presence, change us, transform us from glory into glory. Give us a hunger and a thirst for that. Almighty God, renew our hearts and our minds. God, everyone is mindful of the circumstances we are living in currently, and there is that tiredness, that frustration, that exhaustion. We're all trying to get over it, and man, just even the sunshine, God, yesterday gives us a sparkle of hope. And so, God, in the same way, as we sit here together, we pray that you'll awaken us to the hope of Jesus Christ and your glory, so that even when the night has a hold on us, that your grip on us, O God, is still firmer, stronger, mightier, and more comforting. So we open up our hearts and our minds to you, Father. We pray that you will reveal your glory, that as we come to worship, that we may not lose sight of that glory, but that we may marvel at your splendor and your majesty. And that in all of it, we can worship you honestly, more purely, and with greater enthusiasm to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to make your name known in everything that we do in this week. God, don't let your glory fade from our face next Wednesday. And then, God, when we hunger and thirst for your glory, meet us here again next Sunday to the praise and splendor of your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
Stripped away, simply come.
To this new week, I hope that you see glory all around you, the glory of God in everything that you do, wherever you are, whatever you say. May God reveal His glory to you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. Lord, turn His face of love towards you and give you His peace. And all God's people said, amen. You're dismissed.